Good morning. How you all doing? Shouldn't be hard to find a place to sit. Feel free to move forward. I was praying about the opening for today, and I heard the Lord talking to me about standing in the gap for people. I know that I pray quite a bit for that they would find the Lord, or maybe come back to the Lord in some cases. So I'm encouraging you to just take a moment right now and think of someone, maybe more than one, that you could stand in the gap for today. More than today, actually, but especially during this worship time. Think of a person and their name and imagine them sitting next to you right now or standing next to you during worship. And you're worshiping together with them. So, Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the ability to stand in the gap for those that are not only important to us, but we know are important to you, Lord. So, Father, we invite in the gap of the name, and we invite them into your presence, Lord, your presence, Father, as we worship you today, Lord. I'm going to be reading out of a book that Cheon wrote. I think it's his most recent book, Blueprints for Transformation. And I'd recommend you read it. It's a good book. He talks about a lot of different stuff in here. One of it has to do with giving. One of my heroes in church history is John Wesley, a great apostle and founder of the Methodist movement. In 1789, Wesley famously said in his notes on the use of money, "Earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can." Jay goes on to say, "I have taught and practiced this truth ever since 1997 when God broke a poverty mindset off my life. As we look at each aphorism of Wesley's adage, I want to highlight five keys to walking in prosperity with a purpose. I'm just going to mention the first four and then jump to the fifth. So key one is practice graduated giving. I'll let you get the book to read about what that means. Key two, have at least five sources of revenue. That can seem overwhelming, can't it? Key three, start your own business. That might be overwhelming too. Key four, surround yourself with experts. Yeah, come on. every one of you is an expert at something, and I feel blessed to be around you. And key five, that's where I want to land. Get out of debt and stay out of debt. So I'll read this one. The final key to saving as much as you can is to deal aggressively with debt. The sad reality is that we are a debt-ridden society in the U.S. As of August 2024, so that's a little dated, our national debt reached a record high of $35.2 trillion with outstanding, here's the one that really gets me, with outstanding personal consumer debt at a whopping $17.8 trillion. If you are currently in debt, your priority should be to do whatever it takes to get out of debt as soon as possible. If you are fortunate to already be debt-free, your priority should be to stay out of debt as you continue stewarding your financial health. Romans 13:8 says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another." That's nice. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. I don't know about you, but I believe God has called us to be the head and not the tail, to be the lenders and not the borrowers. This is no condemnation if you are struggling with your finances. Let me say that again. This is no condemnation if you're struggling with your finances. But if you want to prosper, you must strike debt at the roots. Defeating debt requires changing your habits in practical ways. One example is to have a budget. And not only have one, but stick to it. So hanging it on the fridge isn't enough. living within your means is crucial to being free of debt. Resolve not to buy anything unless you can afford it. Refuse to resort to credit cards if you tend to spend more than your monthly paycheck. To be abundantly clear, I classify credit card debt as bad debt. Good debt, on the other hand, would be the mortgage on your home to build equity, and college expenses to provide a quality education for yourself or your children. The further you distance yourself from debt, the more you can save. And the more you save, the more you can bless your family, sow into the next generation, and invest in the kingdom of God. I'll just let you read up there how you can give. You can bring up the basket here in the next song. Look at the others online there. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you for the opportunity. Yes, Lord, the opportunity to steward a piece of your kingdom, Lord. And that includes finances, Lord, and sowing into others. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Help us to see the way through, especially, Father, if we're carrying debt. Father, help us to see the way to begin to inch towards a debt-free lifestyle, Lord. And those of us that have walked that walk, Lord, help us to be willing to walk with others that need some help in seeing how to do that, Lord. Together, we can prosper. Together, we can love each other and our community. Thank you.
you, Lord. He is holy. Amen. Yes, Lord. And then find your seat and we'll transition into... okay. Good. Whew. Thank you, worship team. Took a play on some words here, so bear with me, okay? I just fell in a deep place of thinking, what is communion? You know? What do you think communion is? Most of us would say, well, it's the time we take the sacrament of the blood and the body is in wine or grape juice and bread. And we condition ourselves. Out of the word communion came community. We all need each other, right in the community here in church. We need each other. Now this next word is, don't let your mind run, but it has a biblical meaning. Commune. And that's where people come together in unity and break bread. They break their harvest with each other. They share in a commune to each other. They commit to each other. They live together. Acts 2 in 42 through 47 talks about the breaking of the bread. So do a lot of other scriptures. I'm going to pull them up here in a second. Breaking bread daily in the temple and in the homes. They went from house to house breaking bread. Jay, hold that for me a second, please. So, it's not just here, it's communion. It's breaking bread with each other, home to home. I came across these scriptures and I was a little like, wow, that sure says a lot. Psalms 133:1, a song of ascent of David. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. It's like, I go to Joyce's house, I always eat. Yeah, they have the food. They like to break bread. I go anywhere to this family of mine's house, we usually have something to eat and break bread with each other. Romans 15:5-6. Now may the God who gives endurance and encouragement grant you harmony with one another in Christ Jesus, so that with one mind and in one voice you may glorify the God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. I really like this one now. Philippians. Therefore, if you have Philippians 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement in Christ and any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection, any compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being united in spirit and purpose. I think that breaking bread brings us into the Spirit with purpose. Communion brings us into the Spirit with purpose. I started seeing something as I was sitting real early the other morning. And I see And I hear the Lord calling us to commune in union, communion, to commune in union, come together. We need each other. To trust freely, completely, to be yourself. I mean, the most vulnerable place you can come to is freedom. I'm going to turn this back into, I believe, what Christ was trying to say to us. Where you feel free to be yourself in front of the Lord. Think about that. The quiet place, the secret place, the resting place, the creek of bliss. Come before the Lord. I know I can trust Him, and I can be free with my thoughts to Him. I can commune with Him. I can enter into what He's trying to show His disciples. Let's come together in one spirit. Commune with me. To experience the joy of true friendship, I see and hear the Lord saying, I so desire to be intimate, an intimate friend with you. I want to talk to you. I need you. You need me. I long for you to trust me enough to be fully yourself with me, being real with me. I, the Lord, am about to bring out the best in you by coming in communion with me, says the Lord. The very gift that I have planted in your soul, find me in communion. Allow me to be in you in unity. And I think that speaks a lot to the church. It's not a thing that we do for Christ to be in, just in communion with Him. I think He's calling us to commune with each other. We all have needs. We all need each other. Perfect word, Miss Henny. We all need each other so much. We call on each other. We admonish each other. We come in here and we say, how are you? Oh, I'm good. Thank you. I'd rather lay down my time and talk to Joe. Some of my close buddies, you know. Hey, man, I'm dealing with things. May I come into unity with you? Would you pray for me? Can I pray for you? I see miracles today from a prayer yesterday. I see it physically. Very unusual. See it physically. Why? I came into unity with someone and we prayed. And I see the prayers answered. You see the value of communion? Being in unity, in closeness, carrying each other, loving each other, admonishing, building up, never tearing down. I hear the Lord calling us to a tighter unity, communion. The Lord just bless this day. Thank you for it. Watch over us as we take these sacraments that mean you in me and me in you. As I take the body of Christ and ask Him to live within me, and I glorify you for what you've done for me. And I will lift you up, Father, today in communion, in Jesus' name.
Go ahead and dismiss the kids up to age 12. Matt, you stay in here, please.